listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by the Cotton Tree Lodge on the Moho River in Punta Gorda, Belize. You can find more information on the Cotton Tree Lodge at cottontreelodge.com. Cotton Tree Lodge is a river adventure and a jungle retreat. Welcome to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Erica Wides, and you're listening to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. And it is snowing yet again in New York. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to end. We already have piles of dirty gray snow at every corner, some of them well over 6 feet tall. And there's more coming down now, although actually it seems to have finally stopped a little bit. But this seems to be the endless winter, the interminable winter, and I am totally sick of it. Although I shouldn't complain because I was just in sunny, warm Southeast Asia for 2 weeks. But I came home just in time for Snowpocalypse 2.0, as it was being called. So I came home just in time for some of the worst of the winter. And of course, stupid me, when I was planning my trip to Asia, I decided to come home before Tet, which is the Vietnamese Lunar New Year, or the also known as the Chinese New Year. I planned a trip to Vietnam. I talked about it last week, to work on my project there with Streets International. And I stupidly didn't think to stay for Tet, which is like the biggest, most fun party of the year. And all my friends there were, my Vietnamese friends, my students were horrified that I wasn't staying for Happy New Year, as they call it. And now they all keep sending me emails about how much fun they're having and all the great food and all the parties. And that's too bad I'm not there. So that was really dumb. They take Tet really seriously in Vietnam. If you're old enough to remember the Vietnam War, or you learned anything about it in school, you may remember the Tet Offensive, which was a big military action that the U.S. and the South, took in Vietnam during the war. But it was the Tet Offensive because it happened around the Tet holiday. So Tet is the word for Lunar New Year in Vietnam. And they take Tet really seriously. It's a really big deal. I mean, I was there for like a month before the actual holiday, and people were already getting ready. There's a huge amount of preparation that happens. People will paint their houses, fix up the facade of their house. All the women were getting their hair done. They were getting their hair straightened for Tet. Everybody buys new clothes. You have to work really hard and save up a lot of money in the months before Tet so you can buy new clothes. And you have to have money to give all the kids in your family, special lucky money in a red envelope. And of course, there's a lot of food. You have to prepare all kinds of special foods because there are multiple rounds of parties and visits and family events. And of course, they all feature food. It's all about food. So you have to make sure that you do your shopping and you buy all your special foods and you do all your preparation. It's a very big deal. It's a much bigger deal than our Western New Year celebration. All my students there were all really surprised that we only do one night for New Year. They couldn't believe it was just one night. They said, well, what do you do the next day? And I said, well, usually we sleep late and then get up and take care of our hangovers and that's it. And they were really shocked. But Lunar New Year, which happens right around now, it happens all over Asia, in China and Malaysia and Thailand and Korea and Singapore. And it's the Lunar New Year, which means it's the celebration of the beginning of spring. So technically, spring has begun as of this week. And here in New York, there are the huge Chinatown events for Lunar New Year. Although those events make me want to stay home because it's way too crowded and way too noisy for me. I'm not really into that. But what's funny is that not only is it Lunar New Year right now, it's also Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and it's Carnival in Brazil. They all coincide this year. So it's quite the global party week, not to mention that it was also just President's Day, which is always a huge celebration. Valentine's Day, of course. It was the Olympics, still is the Olympics, the America's Cup sailing race, and the Westminster Dog Show all in 1 week. So this is the week. This is it. I mean, you know, what's a girl to choose so many parties and so little actual interest in any of them. But it's kind of an interesting coincidence that all that happened at once. But anyway, except the one I am really interested in is Tet. And I think it's probably because, you know, in some past life, I think I had to have been Vietnamese because I love the food so much and I love the country and I feel very at home there. It sort of feels very natural. So I think that, you know, maybe I was born in 1967. So maybe I was, you know, reborn from some soldier or somebody who was killed in the war. I don't know, or something. I don't know if I even really believe that, but there's definitely some kind of connection. Maybe it's because, wow, a gigantic wad of snow just fell off the roof right outside the window here. That has nothing to do with the show, but it kind of scared me. Anyway, it could be that everybody in Vietnam is generally like as short as I am, which could make me feel at home. But I think it's more the openness and the generosity that I've been shown in my visits and in my interaction with people, which is why I'm so mad at myself that I screwed up and came home before I got to celebrate Tet with friends and colleagues there. It was such a missed opportunity. So definitely next year, next winter, when I plan my biannual visit, I will definitely go for Tet. But by then, streets may have actually begun or have finished our next location, which is probably going to be in Nha Trang, Vietnam, which is on the coast, or in Laos, which could be really cool. So anyway, this seemed like a good opportunity this week to talk about foods that people eat during Asian Lunar New Year, traditional New Year's foods, not just in Vietnam, but also in some of the other cultures that celebrate this week as Lunar New Year and the beginning of spring. But since Vietnamese food and Korean food seem to be all I can think about lately, I'm focusing on those two, Vietnam and Korea. We'll talk about Japan a little bit too. But of course, you can't forget China, the, you know, mega country of China, which has hundreds of culinary regions and mini cuisines. And it can't be forgotten and it can't be ignored. However, it's just I'm so much more interested in those other two or three cuisines that I can't really spend that much time on China, especially because there are people out there who know so much more about China and much more authority on China than I am. I don't feel like it's my job to try to tackle Chinese cuisine. So you could listen to a different show about Chinese New Year cooking. I'm focusing on Vietnam and Korea and then Japan. Okay, so if you want China, look elsewhere. So since Tet's supposed to be the beginning of spring, of course, if you live in the Northeast or the Mid-Atlantic, you're just going to have to stretch your imagination a little bit and start thinking spring. Although yesterday I was out walking around, it was very sunny and bright. You could almost kind of feel spring coming. You could feel the daylight getting longer and starting to change. And it's only 4 weeks until we spring ahead on the clock. So there's always hope. Anyway, so back to Tet. So in Vietnam, probably the most famous food for Happy New Year, as it's called, would be something called ban tet or ban chung. This word ban, B-A-N-H, in Vietnamese kind of refers to anything that's like bready or baked or crepe or has to do with dough or flour. So maybe you've eaten a banh mi, which is a Vietnamese sandwich, and there's ban quan and ban me. I mean, there's all the word ban covers a lot of different stuff. So ban tet and ban chung are these rice cakes, sticky rice cakes that are made. And they take the sticky glutinous rice and soak it for like 12 hours, really long time. And mung beans, dried yellow mung beans, and those get soaked. And then the mung beans get ground up into a paste and formed into like a ball. And then that ball of mung bean gets placed in the center of like a banana leaf. They use a banana leaf. And then encased with ground pork. And the pork has to be seasoned and mixed with onions and salt and pepper and fish sauce and stuff like that. And then the sticky rice, the soaked glutinous rice, gets wrapped around all of that. So you have this kind of brick of sticky rice encasing the pork and the mung bean mixture. And it's all very highly seasoned. It all gets very neatly and tightly wrapped up in leaves, in banana leaves or in some other kinds of leaves. And then tied with strings. And the strings are usually also made out of leaves, but they can also be made out of plastic these days. And then the whole thing gets put in a pot and boiled for 12 hours. So you put them in the pot, you fill the pot up with water, and then you let it boil until the water cooks away. And it takes about 12 hours and it gets really cooked and the sticky rice gets really sticky. And the whole thing basically fuses into a solid block of sticky rice goodness. And the difference between the bontet and the banchung is the shape. Bontet are cylindrical shaped. They're sort of like almost like a soda can shaped, but a little bit bigger. And the banchung are square and blocky, sort of like a 6-inch block. And the whole thing just melds together as it cooks into this block of like porky rice deliciousness. And they cook for so long in contact with the banana leaves that the banana leaves turn the rice green, which is kind of nice. And the banana leaves also impart a really nice flavor and aroma to the rice. And then, so after they're cooked, you let them cool down. And then to serve, this is really cool, you pull on the strings. They're kind of wrapped in a really specific way with string. And the string slices the bontet into segments. So it's kind of neat. You just pull and it falls into segments. And then you can share it with your family. And you usually serve them sliced up like that. And you share them with the family when you're having your New Year celebration, along with other snacks, especially things like seeds from watermelon and special fruit and dried fruits and sweets. And there's a lot of food gifting that goes on. And you can buy bontet here in the States, too. I was walking around Chinatown yesterday and I saw them for sale. You can, you know, sometimes they'll be sold right on the street by like little old ladies who do it as a little home industry. And you can eat them warm as is, or let them cool down and eat them cold. Or you can slice it up and fry the slices too. Sometimes that's done. And traditionally, making bontet was a family activity and the whole family would be involved. And it would take a couple of days because it's a very labor-intensive activity. So back when people lived sort of simpler, more agrarian lives and had a lot more kids, everybody could sit around and make the bontet together. But now people live these sort of more urban modern lives. And so, you know, you'll buy them. You can order them from a local supplier, or there might be somebody in your neighborhood who does it. And also in villages and in neighborhoods in Vietnam, people will establish a fund to make sure that there's bontet being purchased for the poorer people in the neighborhood, which I found kind of really profoundly moving that people would make sure that everybody had this stuff. My friend Tram, who I met in Vietnam, she's a translator. She lives right outside of Hoi An, where I was working, and she's a good friend of mine. And she comes from a family who, by Western standards, is quite poor. I mean, they're, you know, just struggling to get by, but they're not considered the poorest of the poor in Vietnam. They have a good house, good solid house, and everybody in her family has some kind of income, not huge, but, you know, they get by. But her mom is sort of the neighborhood designated person who organizes for Tet to make sure that the poorer people in their community have food and rice cakes and money for giving as gifts, because it's so important that everybody follow these rituals that even the really poor people sort of look out for the even poorer people, which I found really touching and really, really moving. Even some of the kids in the program where I was working, who are some of the poorest of the poor in Vietnam, expressed concern that there were poorer people in their villages who they needed to make sure were provided for in the holiday. There's this real sense of kind of taking care of each other in Vietnam, like everybody's sort of one big extended family. And I'm sure it's because it's a homogeneous society and everybody practically is related. But I think, you know, sometimes that's really nice. And you don't always feel that here, that we're all taking care of each other. So those bontet cakes are probably, you know, the most important thing eaten. But there's a lot more that's eaten during Tet. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back and talk about that. Thank you. Welcome back to Why We Cook on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Erica Wides, your host. And remember that you can listen to this show live every Tuesday night at 6:30. And now we have a comments page on the website. So if there's something you want to tell me, you have a question, something you like, something you don't like, please join us on the comments page and let me know. It would be nice to know who's listening. And you can also find Why We Cook on Facebook at Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network on Facebook. And I would love if you became a fan. Same thing. Send me a message. Be great to hear from you. Remember, too, that you can listen to all the Heritage Radio Network programs anytime, archived on the site. We are now broadcasting 24 hours a day. And you can also find them all on iTunes. So you can podcast now also. You have many options for listening to Heritage Radio Network. So you have no excuse for not listening to Heritage Radio Network. Okay, so in the first segment, I was talking tonight about Asian Lunar New Year, particularly Tet, which is the Vietnamese version of Asian Lunar New Year, and what people eat during Tet, because it's a big family holiday and it's all about food. And I was talking about Ban Tet, which are these sticky rice cakes that are very symbolic and very important for Vietnamese people during the holiday. But there's a lot of other stuff eaten too, a lot of really interesting foods. One of the things people eat are kumquats. You know, kumquats are like those teeny little oranges, really cute little oranges. Kumquat trees are given as gifts extensively, especially in the central and southern part of the country. And the kumquats themselves are very symbolic. One reason why is because they kind of look like gold coins, so they represent money and affluence. But also because the kumquat tree is so bountifully fruited. It has so many little fruits on it that it's a good representative symbol of abundance and fertility. So if you give people a kumquat tree, then perhaps it will encourage them to have more children or maybe more money. So the kumquat trees are really important, as are apricot and peach blossoms. Also, it's really beautiful this time of year in Vietnam because the markets will be full of branches of apricot blossoms and peach blossoms, and people give them as gifts. And one of the first times I went to Vietnam, which was about 11 years ago, people rode bicycles more than now. Now people ride motor scooters mostly, but it was all kind of bicycles back then. And you'd see people riding around with gigantic bundles of blooming peach blossoms on the back of their bike. It was really beautiful and really fragrant. And melon seed eating is really huge this time of year too, particularly watermelon seeds, because red watermelon is an auspicious color. Red is like the official auspicious color of good luck. So there are bags and bags and bags of watermelon seeds that people sit for hours cracking open with their teeth and eating. Some of the kids in the program tried to train me to do this, and I could not successfully crack them open as well as those kids. But it was fun. There are also traditional mung bean cakes, a little bit different than the Ban Tet I was talking about. And lots of preserved fruits, too, fruits that are preserved in sugar syrup that are only eaten this time of year. And then other things like other dried fruits and nuts and sweets and all kinds of special dishes. And of course, because it's a Buddhist country, everybody has their altar to their ancestors. You know, it's all about ancestor worship, worshiping the dead. And so there are five symbolic fruits that you always put out on that altar as sort of a tribute to your ancestors. It's kind of all about the ancestors. But apparently, if you've had a death in the family recently, you're not really supposed to visit anyone, Tet, because you then, you know, you bring the bad mojo. You're like, you're the big downer. So I don't know. My friend Trom just emailed me that her grandmother just died, so I don't know how that affected her visiting and all her partying. I'm gonna have to ask her about that. But there are also things on Tet that you shouldn't eat. Very inauspicious things that you should not eat during this year of the tiger. And one of those things is duck. And I never knew this until I started doing some research, but you never eat duck on New Year because apparently it brings you bad luck or unluckiness. I don't really know why. I have no idea why. I mean, here in the States, we use the expression lucky duck, but I think that has more to do with like our simplistic minds liking to make rhymes more than anything else. And shrimp. You should not eat shrimp during Tet either, because if you eat shrimp, it may cause you to metaphorically move backwards in life and not move forwards, because apparently shrimp swim backwards. I did not know this, that shrimp swim backwards. But I will definitely avoid shrimp this year because I don't need to be moving backwards in my life. I'm all about moving forward these days. So no duck and no shrimp during Asian Lunar New Year, at least not in Vietnam. And most importantly, after all of this eating that you're going to be doing and all this indulging and all this partying, you have to remember that if you have any leftover food, you cannot throw it out until after the fourth day of Tet. Each day has significance. The first day, your most important visitors should come. Your second day is about, visiting family. Your third day is about something else. So on the fourth day, then you can throw out leftovers. But if you do it before then, very bad luck. And you never sweep the house or sweep any trash out of the house until after that day. Because if you do that, you're going to sweep all your good luck right out of your house. So that's perfect for me because I rarely sweep my house as it is. So I should be a very lucky person. If we leave Vietnam for a minute and we head over to Korea, where I went on my way home this time. In Korea, it's a little bit more simplistic, a little more simple. People spend time with family. It's sort of a quieter holiday. But in Korea, they eat a soup called tteokguk. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right. But it's a very special New Year's soup that's like a thick beef broth. And you slice up these white rice cakes that float in there. And then you top it with colorful garnishes that are all very symbolic. Things like scallions and dried nori. And a sliced up hard-boiled egg and sesame seeds. And they all kind of mean different things. And sometimes people eat this soup with mandu in them. Mandu are Korean dumplings. They're a lot like Chinese dumplings. But the Korean tradition dictates that you have to eat this soup on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Because when you eat this soup, everybody turns 1 year older. Because in Korea, you don't really have a birthday so much as on Lunar New Year. Everybody ages 1 year. And if you don't eat the soup, you're not going to celebrate your birthday. So everybody becomes 1 year older on New Year's Day in Korea. And this New Year's Day soup, is eaten in the morning. And it's very healthy and it's supposed to purify you. And the colors are important because the rice cakes are white. And white is the color of purity in food. And so you begin the new year in a very pure state. Now, I'm sure it also has a lot to do with all the soju that people drank the night before. Soju is like Korean, sort of like sake. It's usually made from fermented sweet potatoes. It's like Korean vodka in a way. And, you know, I'm sure you drink a little of that. And so the soup helps you to purify the next morning. But it's not quite the big party that Tet is in Vietnam, which just like goes on for weeks. In Korea, it's a little bit quieter. You visit with family. Not the big firecrackers and dragons and all of that stuff. So we have to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Korea's neighbors, Japan, who do things a little bit differently. So we'll be right back on Why We Cook. Welcome back to Why We Cook on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Our show tonight is sponsored by the Cotton Tree Lodge in Punta Gorda, Belize. You can get more information at CottonTreeLodge.com. Cotton Tree Lodge, River Adventure, Jungle Retreat. So welcome back to the third segment of Why We Cook. I'm Erica Wides, your host. Like I said in the earlier segment, if you would like to leave a comment on the HeritageRadioNetwork.com website. We would love to hear from you. I'd love to know what people are thinking about the show and any suggestions, comments would be very welcome. So I'm talking tonight about Asian Lunar New Year and about the foods that people eat, because this show is all about food. Foods that people like to eat or use as celebratory foods. So I talked about Vietnam, of course, because Vietnam is where I spend time every year, and it's kind of very close to my heart. And I talked about Korea, because I just came back from Korea, and I love the food there. And then I want to talk just a little bit about Japan. You know, they're Korea's neighbors and their former occupiers, of course. But the Japanese don't celebrate Lunar New Year anymore. They switched to the Gregorian calendar. In 1873, 5 years after the Meiji Restoration, the Japanese decided to adapt the Gregorian calendar, which is what we use. So their New Year is first day of January, just like all of us, just like the whole Western world. They don't do Lunar New Year anymore. But they do, like most other countries and other cultures, have special New Year's food. It's just eaten January 1st, not the beginning of February. So Japanese people eat a kind of a special selection of dishes during the New Year, and they're called osechi ryori, and it's usually shortened to osechi. And the osechi is sort of a whole sequence of foods and dishes cooked and served in beautiful boxes, like bento boxes, but they're bento boxes that are specifically designed for the New Year. And they can be, you know, sort of like family heirlooms. The foods can be many, many, many things, but they always will have certain things. One of them is kombu, simmered kombu, which of course we know is a type of seaweed. And kamaboko, which is a type of fish cake. You've probably seen the fish cakes. Sometimes they have like a pink design inside of them. They come in like 100 million different shapes and colors and sizes in Japan. Mashed sweet potatoes with chestnuts, but not like sweet potatoes like we eat here in the U.S. The sweet potatoes in Asia they're different. They're not quite as sweet. And they mash them up with chestnuts, because those are very typical Japanese winter foods. Simmered burdock or gobo, which is also eaten a lot in Japan in the winter, and sweetened black soybeans. And those are all very important osechi foods for the New Year. And they're, you know, beautifully served and beautifully arranged. And sometimes there'll be sushi and sashimi served along with it, and many, many other things. A lot of it depends sort of on affluence and, you know, how good of a cook you are and things like that. But traditionally, many of these dishes were either sour or, you know, fermented, vinegar, dried, salted, so that they could keep without refrigeration, because, you know, this is a culinary tradition that dates way back, of course, before refrigeration. And during the New Year, stores would be closed for the holidays. So you had to have these foods in the house and prepare them so that they would last you for 3 or 4 days until the stores reopened after the holiday season. And then it sort of morphed into this more modern idea that these were foods that women could prepare before the New Year holiday that would then keep for 3 or 4 days after the holiday, giving them a little break from preparation. So the women would laboriously prepare these multi-course meals to get ready for the holiday, and then it would keep long enough that they could actually take a few days off. And in Japan, women aren't supposed to do any cooking or any work for a few days after New Year's, which was pretty nice, you know, get them a break. And, you know, there are a lot of variations on these foods too, and they vary specifically also from region to region. So some things that are eaten in some places in Japan are not eaten in other places in Japan, or even are, you know, banned or not considered lucky. And another dish also that's eaten is called ozoni, which is a soup with rice cakes, and the rice cakes are called mochi. You've probably eaten mochi, sometimes eat it as dessert when you eat Japanese food. And the mochi is, you know, that pounded rice, sticky rice stuff. And so it's very similar to that Korean soup. It's a soup with sliced up rice cakes. And then usually the day after the big feast in Japan, they eat a rice soup with 7 herbs in it, and it's sort of medicinal, and it's to kind of help you. You know, it's like the hangover kind of food. So anyway, that's Japan. We're just about out of time tonight, but I do just want to mention, if you've listened to the show before, you know that I am involved with an organization called Streets International that is a training program for kids in Vietnam under privileged, very underprivileged kids in Vietnam. And we'll be having a benefit in New York at the end of March. And if you want to get a little more information, you can go to streetsinternational.org. And maybe you want to buy a ticket, come to the event. I'll be doing a cooking demo. There'll be a lot of great food, a lot of great cocktails. Should be really fun. So we would love to see you at the Streets benefit. So we're out of time. Thanks for joining me tonight on Why We Cook. And I'll see you next week. Thanks.